I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text number 1. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Maya Saktamanak Partha Yogam Yunjanmanashraya Asam Shayam Samagramam Yatha Gyasasi Tatshinu. Now hear from me, O Sanaprita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness in me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear from me, O Sanaprita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Supra's purport. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, four kinds of pious people become attached to Krishna, and four kinds of impious persons, who never take to Krishna, are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different kinds of yogas. By different types of yogas. At the end of the seventh chapter, at the end of the sixth chapter, has been clearly explained that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one can know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti or localized Paramatma realization are not full knowledge of the absolute because they are partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is the ultimate knowledge beyond any doubt. Different types of yoga is only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and its manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as is directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which shravanam, or hearing, is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch chinu, or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. One should therefore learn from Krishna directly or from a devotee of Krishna and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravanam kirtana radyantakstau hi abhrajani vidunoti saritsatam nashta prayeshvabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki tadarajastamo bhava kama lovadayaschaye chaite tana vidam sitam sate prasidati evam prasana manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavatatva vijnanam mukta sangasa jayate pidite ridya grantis chijente sarva samshaya shiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. To hear about Krishna from the Vedic literature or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna is dwelling in everyone's heart acts as a best-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing about him. In this way, the devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service to the Lord. By the development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, one remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. As bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of a samshayam samagram understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. So the text again. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Maya Saktam Anakparata Yogam Yunjamana Shayaha Asam Shayam Samagramam Ita Gyasasi Tatshinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanavane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasvyatyade Satarna. Thank you for being here. Is anyone here for the first time? Anyone here for the last time? Well, that's good. Here it mentions what is Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explains in the purport, is the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna. And the whole purpose of the Hare Krishna movement is to help us steadily focus our consciousness upon Krishna. The unique thing about Krishna is that there's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energy. And therefore, when we think that there is something outside of, there's something besides Krishna and Krishna's energy, that's called illusion. So although sometimes they consider the Hare Krishna devotees to be escapists, some people make, but actually we're trying to just escape from illusion. And everyone else is trying to escape from reality, or has escaped from reality. And the process is very simple. The process is to hear from someone who's heard from a person in the disciple succession who ultimately heard from Krishna. Just as we find here, Arjuna heard the science of Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, and those who are in Arjuna's disciple succession repeat the same message that Arjuna heard 5,000 years ago. And basically, Krishna is giving us a science by which we can fix our mind upon him. And therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three different parts, or at least our acharyas explain, that we can understand Bhagavad Gita in six chapters, three different parts. 18 altogether. And the first six chapters explain about the processes which will help us hear. Hearing is not so simple. Hear with rapt attention so we can actually hear what's actually being said. We may hear something, but that may not be exactly what's being conveyed. For instance, when we understand that when Srila Prabhupada was speaking, because he was a self-realized person, his sound vibration included everything within it that he was saying. In other words, there was no difference between what he was saying and what he was experiencing. And what he was experiencing was full consciousness of Krishna. In other words, he repeated what his spiritual master said in disciple succession, and he was completely aware of his spiritual master when he repeated it, who is aware of his spiritual master, who is aware of going all the way back to the six Goswamis, their writing and their awareness of Krishna, aware of the Panchatattva, or either Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami or Rupa Goswami, giving their direct experience of experiencing Krishna, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, feeling the separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, and therefore actually being there and associating with them. In other words, one who's factually a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, wherever he went, he brought the whole spiritual world with him. Not only Goloka Vrindavan, but Navadvip and all their associates. So that's quite a powerful sound vibration. The only problem is we may not be powerful enough to hear what he's saying. And therefore we have to develop the power of hearing, and one who can perfectly hear from a self-realized person such as Srila Prabhupada, just by hearing, one will automatically or immediately realize Krishna in all his different aspects. Therefore Krishna is saying, how by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, to become aware of the person who has unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly strong, unlimitedly wealthy, unlimitedly knowledgeable, unlimitedly renounced, unlimitedly famous, is not so common. But if we practice yoga, as explained in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, that may be possible. But of course, our method of practicing that yoga may be slightly different. Like for instance, what is our duty? Why should we perform a duty? It seems quite regimented. Because we have this body doesn't belong to us. Although we may believe it belongs to us, but actually, and from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us that we're transcendental to the body. But we're entangled in the material world due to our desire. Specifically, to be part of the material world and get some happiness here. Somehow or another, make arrangement in the material nature where we can find happiness, peace, and satisfaction. But while we're trying to do that, we should try to avoid the problems of material existence, namely the fact that as long as we unrestrictedly try to satisfy our material desires, we unrestrictedly get into trouble. And therefore, in the midst of trying to have a peaceful, comfortable, happy life, we should find out how to work here in such a way as to avoid the problems of being in the material nature. Material nature, material energy, or Maya, she's like the police force. And believe it or not, we've all been arrested. Not only have we been arrested, but we're in jail right now. And if you wonder what your jail looks like, then just look in the mirror. That's it. The beautiful jail cell that we send pictures on Facebook about. Did you see my jail cell? I decorated it this week. And material nature has not only arrested us and put us into the bodily concept of life, but she's also chastising us or torturing us because we're terrorists. And therefore, we're getting our just desert. And what is that torture? Well, to begin with, we start out with a fairly good jail cell, but then it deteriorates in time. It becomes old, it crumbles, and then we're kicked out of the jail cell. We have to find another one. So birth, death, old age, and disease, these are the results of being in a jail. And then there's the other miseries, such as the jail cell is a very uncomfortable place to live. It's cold in the winter and it's hot in the summer. There's not enough water sometimes, and sometimes there's too much. The food is not so good in a jail cell as we'd like it to be. And sometimes the guards come and they beat us. or other living entities live with us in the jail cell, and they eat our food, or they eat us. And then there's other problems. So this is called adiatmaka, adibodhika, and adidevaka, miseries. And in the midst of all the problems of material existence, we're struggling to become peaceful, happy, and satisfied. So therefore, if we act properly, then the material nature will less restrict us and less chastise us. So that's called karma yoga. Surrender the stolen goods back to its proprietor by utilizing this body according to the way Krishna directs us. Now in this age, we don't know what our duty is. We think our duty is to make money and try to be happy in the material world, secure, happy, peaceful. Which is true, that's the natural desire of every living entity, to be happy, peaceful, and secure. But if we want to do that, then first of all, the only real security is realizing ourselves and ultimately the Supreme Self. So if we, in this age, since we're not quite sure where I fit in terms of duty, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's advice, it doesn't mean that we have to change our position. We have to change our consciousness. And while we're in that position, whatever it may be, utilize our energies in Krishna's service. So utilizing Krishna's energies in Krishna's service in this age means basically to help others understand their relationship with Krishna. While we're trying to understand our relation with Krishna, our duty is to help others understand their relation with Krishna also. Therefore, if we are learned, if we like to read and study and be philosophical, then we could try to convince others that we're not this body. Not difficult. When Prabhupada was speaking to Professor Katovsky at the University of Moscow, he told Professor Katovsky that your body is changing. Professor Katovsky couldn't believe it, because Professor Katovsky is not with us anymore. So although he didn't believe it, his body did change. And Prabhupada tried to explain to Professor Katovsky, although your body is changing, that you're not changing. And therefore one day you'll have to leave your body. As I said, he didn't believe it, but now it's happened already. If you don't believe it, you can go to Moscow and visit Professor Katovsky's grave. So Prabhupada tried to explain to Professor Katovsky that the body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. And then he tried to explain to him, but Professor Katovsky could not understand that. It was beyond his capacity. And so Prabhupada tried to explain to him that there should be a class of people who try to come to a higher level of purity and consciousness. But first-class men, Prabhupada said. But Professor Katovsky, living in Moscow at that time, in a so-called classless society, could not understand anything Prabhupada was talking about. But Prabhupada did the best he could to try to convince Professor Katovsky that there was something beyond Marxism. Because the one thing that Prabhupada said that Professor Katovsky couldn't disagree with, Prabhupada said, what is the difference between your Marxism and our Krishna consciousness? In your Marxism, you accept Marx as your leader, and we accept Krishna as our leader. So both of us have to accept a leader. That Professor Katovsky couldn't deny. Unfortunately, he chose Marx. Fortunately, we're choosing Krishna. So if we're a learned person, then we should try to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember one time I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada in Buffalo in 1969, and Prabhupada they invited a man, Professor Dr. Lau, who had invited our temple president to come and open the center in Buffalo. And there was just Dr. Lal, well, Srila Prabhupada, Dr. Lal, and myself in the room. And Dr. Lal was an impersonalist. A born-again impersonalist. Which means he'll be born again and again and again. That's born again. And Prabhupada tried to explain to him our philosophy. He said that just like you have a mother, so if you want to find out who your father is, you have to ask your mother. So if you want to find out who the Supreme Father is, you have to ask your mother, the Vedas. And the Vedas say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Professor Lal could not understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So normally, if someone doesn't understand what we're talking about, we try to explain it in a different way. But Prabhupada understood that this is such an obvious analogy. If you can't understand that 1 + 1 = 2, then how are you going to understand advanced algebra? So he repeated the same analogy again. He said, if you want to know who your father is, then you have to ask your mother. So the Vedas are our mother. If we want to know who the Supreme Father is, we have to ask the Vedas, and the Vedas tell us that Krishna is the Supreme Father. So again, Professor Lal couldn't understand. So I was expecting that maybe Prabhupada would switch the subject or say it in a different way. And no, Prabhupada just repeated the same analogy. He said, if you want to know who your father is, then you have to ask your mother. Isn't that right? The mother is the authority on who your father is. So we want to find out who the Supreme Father is. We have to ask the Supreme Mother, and the Supreme Mother is the Vedas. And they tell us that Krishna is the Supreme Father, so we have to accept it. Again, Professor Lal couldn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So Prabhupada solved concluded the discussion by ringing his bell and asking Purushottam to bring in prasadam. And that was the end of our conversation. If we're learned, we'll know how to present Krishna consciousness to different audiences simply to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that we have some interesting aspects of the philosophy that we're going to present. No, actually, one who is learned in Krishna consciousness, they simply present Krishna consciousness in a way to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we're all His eternal servants. Now, if we're not so learned and we don't know how to present Krishna consciousness, then, to all audiences under all circumstances, then we may want to assist the preaching by helping to organize the Sankirtan movement. As an administrator, as a leader, as an organizer. So that's also a valid way of utilizing our energies. And if we're not so organized, or we can't organize others, then we can utilize whatever resources we have in Krishna's service. One time Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue. Has anyone ever been there, 26 Second Avenue? Well, this room would be like 26 Second Avenue is about from half the size of this room, if you look at these poles, and up to around that last column. Not a huge building, but it was quite intimate to be there. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and one bum from the Bowery came in. Everyone knows what a bum is? Well, you have to go to New York, you can meet plenty of them. Bums are people who live on the street and they drink alcohol. They don't wash. They don't clean. You can tell them as soon as you get to New York. You can smell them a couple of blocks away. They're called bums. In any case, one bum came in and he said, you know, where is the toilet? The Prabhupada said, don't disturb, because he was giving a lecture. But the bum insisted, where is the toilet? And then someone pointed him to the toilet, and then the bum left. And he came back with rolls of toilet paper and put it into the toilet and then left. And Prabhupada said, he's not in his right mind, but still he's doing some service. And therefore his devotional life has begun. So whatever resources we have, if we utilize that in Krishna's service, then that will also help us advance in Krishna consciousness. And if we have no resources, we have no organizational ability, we have no knowledge about Krishna, still if we assist those who have such resources and knowledge, then we'll also make spiritual advancement. So that's called utilizing our energies in Krishna's service. Now by doing that, what will be the result? Then our minds will become peaceful. If we're in harmony with the laws of the government, if we're in harmony with the police force, then we won't be afraid of the police force. Prabhupada said one day he was walking along with one police official and someone started to flee. And Prabhupada said, what's that? Why are they fleeing? And the police officer said, well, they're criminals. And when they see us, they think we're going to come and arrest them, so they flee away. So if we're in harmony with the laws of nature, we're working properly according to our duty, then we won't be afraid of the police force, Maya, what she's going to do to us. Then we can peacefully hear about Krishna. And if we cultivate knowledge about Krishna, that Krishna is a nice person, he's the friend of everyone, that he's the proprietor of everything here, and that therefore he's the controller of everything, and that when he's happy, everyone becomes happy. If we try to please him, that's the best way of becoming happy. And he wants everyone to be happy. He's a nice person. He didn't put us here to suffer. We came here to suffer. That is, in the government, there is the prison, and also there is the educational institution. The government doesn't advertise, generally speaking, that people go to the prison. They advertise, take advantage of our educational facility. But people, because they're criminals, they break the law, and they're sent to the prison. But the criminals can't blame the government. Why am I in prison? Why didn't you put me in the educational institution? They're in the prison because of their own desire to break the law, and therefore they were sent to the prison for their rectification and for the protection of the honest citizens. But if they reform themselves, then they can also become eligible to take advantage of the educational facility offered by the government. Similarly, when we are in harmony with Krishna, we can hear about Krishna and we can hear about the method by which we can actually become reestablish in our relation with Krishna. So that's called knowledge. And then if we execute that, we follow that knowledge, then the result is that we'll think about Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. And because Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, and because in Krishna's association, everything becomes clear, the darkness in our heart, due to our long association with the material nature, the varieties of lust and anger and greed and delusion and forgetfulness, they're all gradually burnt away by association with Krishna. And as they burn away, as the bliss of being with Krishna burns away the anxiety of material existence, then gradually things become clearer. Just like when the clouds go away, then the sun rays become more strong. Then we can bathe in the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So that's possible, as Krishna will explain in the 7th chapter. If we hear about Krishna from the right source, with the right attitude, then everyone will benefit. At the beginning, we'll develop gradually a desire to just hear about Krishna, because it's nice to hear about Krishna. And then gradually hearing about Krishna will enliven and enlighten us. And at the perfectional stage, hearing about Krishna means that we'll be directly associating with Krishna and his associates, feeling unparalleled ecstasy and love and bliss in their loving and experiencing their loving exchanges with each other and experiencing our own feelings of love for Krishna and his associates. So while we're in this material world, we have the opportunity to hear from Krishna and from his representatives, such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, take advantage of it so that gradually we can become peaceful enough to become more and more able to hear very nicely about Krishna, and then gradually we can experience what we're actually hearing about and therefore enter into the spiritual realm of existence. So, voila. Thank you. Voila. Any questions? Pitanya? Every week I give a lecture here, we have a minute of silence. Okay, so I think it's time for the Artyanya, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.